Today, we're going to talk to author Reina Grande about her latest book, A Dream Called Home. Reina grew up in Guerrero, Mexico. By the time she was 4 years old, both of her parents had left for the U.S. to look for work. So she ended up being raised by her grandparents. Years later, when Reina was 9 years old, her father returned to take her and her siblings across the border to their new home in California. This moment is immortalized in Reina Grande's 2012 best-selling coming-of-age memoir, The Distance Between Us. In October of 2018, Reina released a second memoir, which picks up where her first one left off. It begins with her arrival at the campus of UC Santa Cruz. The memoir details her struggle to adjust to her new environment and her long journey towards becoming an award-winning author. Reina Grande sat down with us to talk about her book, A Dream Called Home, and we started off with her reading a passage. In this part of the story, Reina is doing an everyday task. She's grocery shopping. But when Reina sees the cashier, she suddenly begins to feel very out of place.
The girl had piercings in her nose, left eyelid, and lower lip. She wore a tattered multicolored dress. And yet she looked at me as if I were the weird one in this place. "Are you a member?" she asked. "A member of what?" "Of the co-op, obviously." I didn't know if I had to be a member to make a purchase. All I knew was that whatever they had in here, except for the bananas and apples, looked like something from another planet. I wanted corn tortillas and rice and pinto beans. I wanted some pan dulce and bolillos, a can of jalapeños and chipotle, a bag of fideo and frozen tamales, if freshly steamed ones weren't available. I wanted a container of chocolate abuelita, a package of pineapple barritas, a bag of chicharrones, and a bottle of hot sauce to go with it. I wanted green mangoes and jicama and a shaker of chili powder to sprinkle on them. I wanted comfort food. I wanted something I would know how to cook or eat. "I'm sorry," I said. "I shouldn't have come."
When you think back about that moment now, how do you perceive it? Because you capture so well that kind of like, wait, what's going on? You know, the first time you see tofu, the first time you see dreadlocks, the first time you go to a food co-op. I mean, you're laughing now, but...
Yeah, no, it was a very scary moment for me because I felt so alienated from everything. And I felt I had arrived at a different planet.
I mean, now, Reina, you live in Northern California. You probably go shopping at co-ops. So does it look strange now to look back at that Reina who was so confused by Santa Cruz college life?
It does feel very strange to me. And I think I have, even today, you know, there are times when I feel out of place.
You mean like a serious imposter syndrome?
Yeah, yeah. And I think as a Latina, I've had to deal with that, not just at university, but also out in the real world. Also now, you know, as a professional writer, there are many moments when I feel that I don't belong here. What am I doing here? And I go back to that same feeling that I had in Santa Cruz. But it was a learning experience, and I actually really appreciated it.
So, Reina, in your memoir, you talk a lot about like having to learn how to navigate college life, but you also write about having these issues with your family. And one of the things that you're brutally honest about is your complicated relationship with your parents. You know, as we say, a veces está sacando los trapos al aire. You know, you're taking out the dirty laundry. Your dad is an alcoholic. He's really complicated. He's violent. You didn't have to be so specific and direct about the fact that you really were angry at your parents.
I really believe that when you write a memoir, you absolutely need to be honest. And I have read memoirs where people are not honest, where they hide so much, and I feel cheated as a reader because I feel that if they're inviting me into their lives, and yet they continue to hold me at arm's length, then what's the point? I try very, very hard when I write about my parents to make sure that I really give them their humanity and that I really show their complexity as human beings so that readers can understand who my parents were and why they did what they did, to really understand the good things and the bad things that they did for me, especially my father. I feel that I write a lot about my father, and he was the hero and the villain in my story.
Right. And so, like your dad, he's complicated, right? Because you needed this one particular form to be signed in order to get to UC Santa Cruz. And at that moment, your dad says, I'm not going to sign it. And not only that, he tells you that you're going to fail when you go to college. But then the flip side of that is that, you know, when you move into a dicey neighborhood with your new baby, your dad like shows up to help, right? So you're navigating these complicated relationships, you know, gender relationships. And a lot of this kind of focuses in one section of your book where you talk about your grandparents and how they get together. But there's something that you write, which says, I hated my culture for breeding these men who would treat women as if they were merely objects to be used and abused.
Yeah, that moment that you're talking about was when my maternal grandmother, whom I love very, very deeply, she confessed to me that the reason she ended up with my grandfather was because he threatened her at knife point.
Basically, he put her up against a wall, put a knife to her neck, and said, you're going to be my woman or else. And she ends up marrying him, your grandfather.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that her own parents and her brothers did not help her, did not stand up for her. And she ended up in this relationship where eventually, you know, she had 5 children with my grandfather. And my grandfather died 8 days before I was born. So I never met him. But my most vivid memories of my grandmother is her going to the cemetery all the time to visit his grave and clean it up and bring him flowers. So I saw her as a very devoted wife to him, even though he was dead. So when she told me the story about how she ended up with him, I was completely shocked. She had been a victim of patriarchy. When you belong to a specific culture, I think it's important that we don't romanticize our culture, that we allow ourselves to look at it in many different ways and to be able to criticize our culture as much as we praise it.
And you write about how at the beginning of your career, you chose to focus on getting your first novel published, even though this meant that you as a Latina mom were going to have to spend a little bit less time with your son. And there's also something that Latinas, I hate to say this, but we're really good at guilt.
Oh, man, yeah.
There's a lot of guilt, especially around family, right? There's just a lot of guilt.
Yeah, it's been very hard for me as a mother to try to juggle wanting to pursue my dreams, wanting to have a career. And I have struggled so much with trying to figure out a balance between those two things. And I'm very good at making myself feel guilty, you know, about not being a good mother, because I know so many women that have sacrificed their careers, that have sacrificed their dreams for their children, you know, to raise their children. And I am not one of those women.
Finally, Reina, if you hadn't become a writer, do you think you would have been able to heal? It seems that in particular for you, this kind of writing has really been like therapy, has really been a central part of healing these wounds.
Definitely, writing for me is a form of healing. I have been writing since I was 13 years old, and I wrote even before I knew I was traumatized, even before I learned the words, you know, PTSD and anxiety and depression. I was writing my trauma on the page. It's almost like Frida Kahlo with her self-portraits. I feel that that's the kind of writer I am. I do self-portraits. It has also allowed me to look at my experiences in a different way. When I write about those experiences, I'm able to understand how those experiences shape me and turn me into the woman that I am today. So this is how my writing has taught me to celebrate everything I have gone through, everything that I am, everything that I have felt, and to not be ashamed of who I am.
Thank you for capturing that trauma and for putting it into words that help us understand it all a little bit more. Reina Grande, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Oh, muchas gracias, María.
Reina Grande is an award-winning author. Her latest memoir is titled A Dream Called Home.